Hey, welcome everyone to Reveal. I am so glad that you have decided to join us today. If you don't know who I am, my name is Marty. I'm one of the pastors here at Reveal, and it is a good day to be here. First, this is the first Sunday in over 5 months where we are actually gathering together live, face-to-face, or mask-to-mask. And one thing I want to say to all of you, welcome home. This is a good place to be. Now, I also understand that some of you, you just don't feel comfortable about being here live quite yet, and I want you to know that I support and our staff supports your decision 100%, and we will be right here when you feel comfortable and when it's time to come back, and I look forward to seeing you face-to-face or mask-to-mask. A couple announcements that I want to go over with you because there are some things that are starting to crank up again as the church is coming back to life. First, Relationship Goals is a online and in-person group that we will be offering starting in September. Pastor Daniel will be leading that. This is for single people. This is for married people. This can even be for young adult people, even down into high school. Learning about relationships, what it takes to make a relationship work, what it takes to make a relationship healthy. That, like I said, it is both live and over Zoom, but you need to register because we'll have to get you some Zoom information, and we also need to make accommodations for the number of people that will be attending. So great opportunity here. Also, all of our groups right now are meeting. We only have 7 that we're launching right now. Typically, we have double that, but we have 7 that are launching right now. We're just kind of easing back into things as the church is getting back to normal. So you can go online at revealvineyard.com/groups and find something that works for you. One I want to draw your attention to is a group being led by Dr. Ed Cook, and this group is going to tackle the most difficult questions of faith. Dr. Cook, quite honestly, probably the smartest man I've ever had the privilege of knowing. And so this group is largely led by you. You get to choose the topic. If there's things that you're wrestling with, questions about faith that have been gnawing and at you in the back of your mind, opportunity for you to ask, and the group will discuss it and break that down. It's really a great opportunity, and I hope you will look into taking advantage of it. Dr. Ed Cook is doing that one. And then I also know that some of you are asking about our children's ministry. Right now, we are in a soft opening, meaning that our children's ministry, our kids, is not actually up and running. We're planning to launch that on Sunday, September 20th, and we have a big kickoff that is coming because this summer, we were not able to do VBS, so we are actually doing a Sunday VBS starting September 20th called Rocky Railway, Jesus Power Pulls Us Through. And so if at all possible you want to get your children here on September 20th to participate in Sunday VBS, a lot of excitement, a lot of crafts, a lot of music, a lot of things to do, it'll be a great opportunity for your children. So I hope you will join us for that. Well, as I said, welcome. I'm glad you are here, whether live, in person, or whether online. I'd like us to pray for the service. Also, pray for our offering. If you're live, realize that we're not passing the offering bucket. It is just in the back, and if you want to give, you can give on your way out. If you're viewing online, then an usher is on his way over with an offering bucket. All right, let's pray. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to gather face-to-face, but also just gather in the cloud, that we still have an opportunity to hear your word. We still have opportunity to worship. We have opportunity to celebrate. We have opportunity to learn. And we have opportunity to be transformed. And so that is our prayer. As we start a new series, Holy Spirit, come and speak into each one of us. And I pray very specific that you would speak exactly what each person needs to hear. Because if we're honest, the last 5 months have just kind of flipped us. We're out of routine. We're out of anything that's normal. And so what our desire is today is we want to capture the rest of 2020 and surrender it to you and allow you to work in us over the next 4 months, that we might finish strong. And so, Holy Spirit, come and accomplish that in us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you are like most of us, the past 5 months have left its mark. It's left its mark maybe physically, maybe you put on a few pounds. It's left its mark emotionally, relationally, spiritually. Over the past 5 months, I think many of us fall into one of two camps. The first camp is that we fell in to bad habits. Right, over the past 5 months, something happened, and we kind of fell into some patterns of living that just long-term, they're not good for us, right? They have a negative effect in our lives. Maybe, perhaps, a one-time activity turned into a repeat experience that then morphed into a habit, and you know that what you're engaging in, the habit, the new habit, it's detrimental to the future you and the you that you want to be, and more importantly, the you that God wants you to be. But then there's another camp. Maybe you didn't fall into bad habits. Perhaps you fell out of good habits. Now, here's another problem. It's not that you fell into it. It's that you fell out of it. And over the past 5 months, you fell out of the habits, the patterns of living that were good for you, that was sowing life and stirring life into you, regardless whether you fell in or out of a habit. The result, I think, has been the same, and the result can be illustrated with this. There's no bounce, right? There's nothing left, right? That's just, We're flat. The air has been sucked out of us. We've been deflated. And so now we've lost our resiliency. We've lost our ability to bounce back. We've lost our ability to make a comeback, because the past 5 months, it's just kind of taken the air out of our lives. I think we've lost our breath of life. We've lost that very thing in us that makes us unique. It's been the effects of 5 months of COVID-19. Could be because you fell into something, but it could also be we fell out of something. And I think that falling out of something is probably the larger group. We're just no longer sowing into the things that stir us and that bring life to us. We've lost the breath of life. If you've ever been hit in the stomach, you know what happens when the diaphragm begins to spasm, right? You feel like life is leaving your body. You can't breathe. I remember when it happened to my son for the first time. He was 8 years old, and he and his younger brother were horsing around, and he got hit in the stomach, and he was on the ground, doubled over, gulping for air like a fish. And he looked at me with these eyes that said, "Dad, you know, help me. Something's wrong." And I could see it in his eyes, and I got down on my knees, and I took that chubby little face into my hands, and I said, "Son, this is what happens when you don't do your chores." I had to be real with him, right? But you know what it's like. We've all had the air knocked out of us. Matter of fact, we have a non-medical term for it. We say that the air has been knocked out of him, or the wind was knocked out of them. And we've all experienced that moment of feeling like we're going to die, because what we crave most, what we need most, breath, air, has been taken from us. Let's explore this idea of breath and air a little bit more. Scripture tells us that in the beginning, the Spirit of God hovered over the waters. Now, the word that is used for spirit in the Old Testament is the word ruach. And it has an interesting interpretation. It can, of course, mean spirit, but it can also mean wind, and it can also mean breath. It can mean the wind of God. It can mean the breath of God. It can be quite poetic. And so then we're told that when God created man, what happened? He formed man, and although man had form, there was no life until God breathed into him. Right, we could say that the ruach, it's the breath of God, the life of God, the spirit, the wind of God imparted into us, entered into us, and life exploded. Life came into being. It was in the most beautiful way, mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. God bringing his creation to life, breathing into us the Ruach of God, and life erupted. When a baby is born, in its first minutes of life, it experiences an abrupt and rude welcome into the world. And it's not to introduce it to a hostile world, but the idea is to give it a stimulus so it can absorb life deeply, that there is a... It absorbs life. It breathes in breath, and life begins to move throughout its body. If we believe that God is creator and sustainer, then we believe again that breath is, in fact, it's God nourishing life. It is again the Ruach of God. It is the breath of God being breathed into that child as it takes that first breath. Now, it's interesting that maybe it's the reason why when we describe some of our best moments in life, we often describe them by saying how it affects our breath. Think about that. We've all used the term that it took my breath away. My wife and I, we just celebrated our 28th wedding anniversary. We were going through some pictures, and man, the first time I saw my wife in her wedding dress coming down that aisle, no joke, she took my breath away. And maybe that's why I look like this. We were going over some wedding pictures. Yeah, there's a look for you right there, huh? Yeah, see, she did take my... I was thinking about the honeymoon. And I remember, and I was asking her about this picture, and I said, honey, you look so beautiful. And she said, you look like a pervert. And I did right there. That's the honest truth. That's what she told me. Hey, 28 years, you can be honest with each other, right? All right, get that off. That's scaring me. It's the Ruach of God. It is the Spirit of God. It's the wind. It's the breath of God put into us that brings life. We could say, and I'm not going New Age on you, we could say that it is the life force. It is the force of all life. Again, I'm not going New Age, so don't panic. But it's the life force of God that is in us and that sustains us and that fills us. Now we're building on this metaphor, so pay attention. There's a problem. The problem is that the Ruach has a tendency to get out, to leak. Just came back from a 2-week motorcycle trip with 6 other guys, oftentimes 6 guys in one room, which doesn't sound like a good vacation, but it is actually a lot of fun. And so I brought an inflatable mattress because in my mind, sleeping on an inflatable mattress is better than sleeping with a dude who's been on a bike for 8 hours and does not shower before bed. And there were a couple of them. I won't tell you who they are, but I'll give you their initials. No, I won't even go that far. So I brought this inflatable mattress that had an electric pump built into it. And so that first night came time for bed, and so I flipped on the switch, and the mattress inflated, and I put my bedding on it, and it all looked good. And then I realized a few hours later there was a problem. See, I went to bed around 10:30, and about 1:30, I woke up, and I was sleeping in a taco. Because what I didn't realize is that when the bed is under pressure, when the bed has downward force on it from my 165-pound body, one of those numbers is incorrect. I won't tell you which one it is. But when the mattress has pressure on it, the mattress didn't hold air. The mattress did all right as long as nobody was on it. But when there was pressure, the mattress leaked. And so every 2 hours, I had to flip the switch. And everyone in the room heard for about 2 minutes until the mattress reinflated. But to make matters worse, there was another guy in the room who also had a mattress, and his mattress leaked. And so now every 45 minutes, it was quite relaxing. It was quite beautiful. We're building something here, and I hope you see where I'm going. I have something in common with this ball and something in common with that mattress, and so do you. We leak. The pressure of life has a way of squeezing the life out of us. It has a way of leaving us deflated and taking the very thing we need in order to be healthy. I suppose we can fool ourselves by saying, well, I'm okay as long as there's no pressure. I'm okay as long as I'm not being squeezed, as long as there's no downward force upon me. But hey, if we're honest, I've never known any season of my adult life where I wasn't being squeezed by something, where there wasn't some kind of pressure somewhere. I leak, and you leak as well. And that leaking has left us like this, right? We've lost our bounce. We've lost that zest. We've lost it because of pressure. And then you add to that all of what is going on in the corona age. You add to that the pressure of what we're experiencing now. And this is all there is left. There's nothing there. And I know it's not just me. I think it's most of us. I don't think most of us fell into a bad habit. I think we've fallen out of good habits. Habits of community, habits of worshiping together, habits of physical exercise, habits of being emotionally and mentally challenged, and we have been left deflated. And I think it's the mass of our population who's been left in this situation. See, it's interesting that this ball has the potential to respond as it was created. It has the potential to be what it was created to be, but it's going to take some work. And what it's going to take, it's going to need to be connected to a source that can refill what's been taken out, that can refill the air, or in our metaphor, the breath, right? The wind, the breath of life into it. And so we could say that this ball could get connected to the source, and in this case, the source is this pump. But what we need to understand is even though it's connected to the source, in order for the ball to come back into its normal shape or to come back into the way that its inventor, its creator wanted it to be, it's going to take something. It's going to take time. You see, being connected to the source and this, well, let's see what that gave us. It gave us nothing, right? It did absolutely nothing for us. And so it's going to require something, and what it's going to require, it's going to require time. In other words, one pump doesn't make a difference. One pump doesn't give what is needed or replenish what was taken out. We're moving somewhere with this. We're moving somewhere. In other words, do not underestimate the power of seemingly insignificant, consistent activities that lead to significant results. You see, this motion of pumping this, there's not a lot of air coming out, hardly at all. But do not underestimate the power of consistent activities, simple, seemingly inconsequential, insignificant activities that have the ability to lead to something quite significant. Do not underestimate it. Our problem is that we want instant results in our culture. The problem is that we want something now. And so we may decide, okay, I'm going to position myself. Let's say we come to realize that our past 5 months we've not been healthy. And so we say, well, I'm going to position myself to receive what is needed to recapture some physical health. And so what we typically do is we get back into the gym, and now this pump represents the gym, and we go to the gym, and we think, all right, I went to the gym, and we go home, and we step on the scale, or we go home, and we try on those pair of pants that we haven't worn 5 years, and there's nothing there. But I connected to the gym, right? And now all of a sudden we're like, well, this doesn't work. It was a ripoff. Right? I passed on Taco Tuesday, I went to the gym, and I'm still deflated. Or we try this. We decide, well, all right, I'm going to sow into a relationship maybe that has suffered over the past 5 months. And so we plan an evening full of communication, an evening full of wonder and romance. And it basically amounts to one time. And then we wonder why in 3 days our wife says, "You never talk to me." Like, what do you mean? I just spoke to you 3 days ago, right? Do not underestimate the power of seemingly insignificant, consistent activities that will lead to a significant result. See, this is our problem. We've gotten out of the habit of sowing into ourselves, I think, over the past 5 months. See, it's not a single moment. It's not a single activity. Here, look at it this way. Small investments over large blocks of time have a compounding or cumulative effect. Let's read that again. Small investments over large blocks of time have a compounding or cumulative effect, meaning the more that you do something, the more that you are consistent with something, the more effect it will have in your life. Small investments over a large period of time have compounding or cumulative effects. Now, let's bring this a little closer to home. Let's talk about our spiritual health, right? We talked about relationships, physical health. We all know the effects of the past 5 months. We all put on a little bit of weight, okay? Let's talk about our spiritual health. As followers of Jesus, we have the potential to be what our Creator created us to be. We have the potential to do what our Creator has created us to do. And so now we can think of this pump, we can think of it as the Holy Spirit. And so today, you're like, all right, Pastor, you're right. I'm deflated. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to connect to the source to receive the life that is needed to kind of build up my resiliency again. And so we connect to the Holy Spirit and we go to church once. We're like, well, I went to church back in May. Or we decide that, well, I did do my read the Bible through in a year plan. I made it to January 15th. Or I listened to worship music a couple weeks ago on the way into work. Not on purpose. It was on the station. My spouse left it there. And then after that, we kind of disconnect and we think, all right, well, let's see what we have. And we're still deflated. See, do not underestimate the power of small investments over large blocks of time that have compounding or cumulative effect. It's true in every area of life, including our spiritual well-being. And I think this is why many of us, we've lost our bounce. It's because we've gotten out of the habit of small investments over large blocks of time, and it's left us deflated. Our lives today, understand something. Our lives today are the result of the past 5 months and what we've sown into. Our lives today are a lagging indicator of how we've lived the past 5 months. There are many things in life that are lagging indicators. Let's look at this. When this ball is full of air, it is a lagging indicator that it has been repeatedly hooked up to a pump and the pump was doing what a pump does. My weight, your weight, is a lagging indicator of how we eat and how we exercise. It takes time to get to where we are. That's why it's a lagging indicator. The health of a relationship is a lagging indicator of the time we've spent investing into that relationship. Clutter is a lagging indicator of our organization skills. If you're in sales, your paycheck is a lagging indicator by a week or two of your effectiveness in your sales. If you're in school, your grades are a lagging indicator of how much preparation time you put into studying. Your proficiency as a musician is a lagging indicator of the amount of time that you spent practicing. Your bank account is a lagging indicator of your spending habits. We're getting a little too close to home now, aren't we? And our spiritual health is a lagging indicator of the spiritual disciplines we've invested in or did not invest in the past 5 months. Small investments over large blocks of time have a compounding or cumulative effect, meaning none of it happens all at once. Look, if you're not healthy today, it did not happen overnight. Something occurred in many of us over the last 5 months that have left us where we are. I'll get into that more in just a moment. But it did not happen immediately. It took time. Just as small investments are to our good, the neglect of small investments work to our detriment. Understand that there's even a cumulative effect to obedience. We see this in the Old Testament with the story of Jericho. Israel was under new leadership, and they were getting ready to inhabit the promised land, the land of promise that God had given them. And their first military challenge was the fortress of Jericho, and God told them what to do, but what it was going to take, it wasn't anything flashy. It was something that was going to require the cumulative effect of consistency. Right? Small investments over large blocks of time that will lead them to where God wants them to be. We'll be in Joshua 6. Let's start in verse 1. Now Jericho was tightly shut up because of the sons of Israel, and so no one went out and no one came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have given Jericho into your hand." Now understand what's about to happen. What God is saying is that you have the potential to do what I've called you to do. You have the potential to be what I've called you to be, but in order for it to happen, it will require the cumulative effect of obedience. And it will require you staying attached to the source, or you too will become deflated. Look what he continues to say. "With its king and all of its valiant warriors, you shall march around the city, all the men of war circling the city once, and you shall do so for 6 days. Also, seven priests shall carry seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. Then on the seventh day, you shall march around the city another seven times," right? Small investments over large blocks of time. "And the priests shall blow the trumpets, and it shall be that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people will go up, every man straight ahead." Walk around the city 6 times on the seventh day, do it another 7 times. Small investments over large blocks of time. Now, if God said that to me today, here's what I would do. "All right, God, you gave me the instructions. Okay, 6 times, and then 7 on the 7th time, and I'd walk around the city walls once." I'm like, well, that didn't work. There's no effect. I don't see any walls moving. There's no wind that's forming. See, the effect didn't come on day one. The effect didn't come on day two. The effect didn't even come on day six. The desired effect came because of consistency and a repeat action, small investments over large blocks of time that lead to somewhere where we want to be, where God wants us to be. But there was no visible results immediately. Understand this. Again, there is cumulative, snowballing effect of small investments over large blocks of time every time. See, we cheer the athlete that hits the buzzer beater, or we cheer the athlete that hit the walk-off home run, and what we've witnessed is the cumulative effect of years and years and years of small deposits over large blocks of time, thousands of shots that no one was there to cheer. Thousands of shots that nobody saw. Hours and hours and hours in the batting cage. No fans, no glory. Day after day, just doing what needs to be done. Why? Because small investments over large blocks of time. Let me just ask, how have your investments been over the past 5 months? You see, we know this principle to be true, and yet we struggle with it. And we're struggling with it today. The very things that we need to be giving ourselves to, redeveloping those habits, we're struggling with, but we know the principle of large, small investments over large blocks of time. Here's why I think we struggle with it. First is this idea, you go to that next slide. Why we struggle is because cumulative isn't sexy. Right? This idea of slow growth, small investments over large blocks of time, it's just not flashy. No one is posting on social media, another ordinary dinner with my family. No one's posting on social media, another typical conversation with my wife. No one's posting on social media, another $5 saved. Because cumulative, snowballing, small investment over large blocks of time, it's just not very enticing. It's not very sexy. And so we struggle with it because we like sexy. We like flashy. We like fast. We like immediate. And then there's another reason why I think we're struggling with this is because there's no immediate consequence if you skip an installment. In other words, what I mean by that is if you miss a day at the gym, no big deal. On the first day when the economy and society began to shut down, no big deal. You didn't suffer any effects. I'm guessing a week later, you still weren't really suffering any effects. You miss a day at the gym, no big deal. You go to Lolo's for a three-piece chicken dinner with an extra side of mac and cheese, and then you finish it off with the banana pudding. I just did that. No big deal, right? Life didn't fall apart for me. I didn't step on the scale, and I wasn't 10 pounds heavier, right? There was no consequence besides the food coma that I suffered. If you're self-absorbed for the day, it doesn't end in a divorce, right? If you neglect your soul for a few days, 4 hours later, you're not hitting rock bottom. Because there's no immediate consequence, we undervalue the importance of small investments over large blocks of time. I'm leading us somewhere, I promise you. See, don't be deceived. There is a cumulative value of small investments over large blocks of time, and there is a cumulative effect of neglect over large blocks of time. Just as there is value because of small investments over large blocks of time, there also is an effect, a negative effect, because of neglect, little neglect over large amounts of time. It happens to each one of us. We can't avoid it. See, and I think this is where we find ourselves today. I think this is where we're at this moment. And I think we're feeling it. I think the lagging indicators are beginning to appear in our lives. I think you feel it. I know I feel it. I didn't feel it week one, week two, month one. But with time and falling out of habits that have been good for me over the years, the lagging indicators began to appear. And I'm sure you are feeling it as well, the cumulative effect of neglect over larger blocks of time, and lagging indicators begin to show. Because there is a cumulative value of small investments over large blocks of time, and there is a cumulative effect of neglect over large amounts of time. But it gets worse. See, there's a tipping point. At some point, there is a tipping point or a point of no return. Barring divine intervention, you can neglect your health, we can neglect our marriage relationships, we can neglect children and job and finances, our spiritual condition, we can neglect the things of life for so long that there is no coming back. You can neglect your health to the point of where modern medicine can't help. I'm not saying this is where we're at after 5 months, don't get me wrong. But what I am saying is that I've talked to enough people that I know that deep down in those quiet recesses of life, in those places we don't talk about, we know that if we continue on this current path that we're on, it will be impossible for us to be healthy. And I've talked to numerous people who have said the same exact thing. They didn't fall into habits of sin, habits of destruction. We've fallen out of some things that are good for us, and now those lagging indicators are beginning to appear. And so let's ask the question, what are we going to do about it? How are we going to get our bounce back? What are we going to do to be refilled and refueled to be who we've been created to be? Well, here's a few thoughts, and this is just the introduction to our series, so we'll unpack this more in the weeks to come. The first thing we're going to do is we're going to begin to center ourselves again. We're going to come back home, and home isn't reveal, home is Jesus, right? We're going to center ourselves again, starting today, starting now. If you feel it, if you're unhealthy, if the lagging indicators are beginning to show in your life, I don't care what the area, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, relationally, if those lagging indicators are beginning to show, today is the day that we begin to center ourselves again, and we begin to place ourselves on the road that God wants us to be on. We're going to recognize that there's been a problem. And those lagging indicators are now appearing. 5 months of possible neglect. We're not going to hide it anymore. We're not going to pretend that it doesn't exist. We're not going to think it's just going to go away. We're going to be vocal about it to say, hey, I'm struggling. You know, I sent our leadership team an email probably about 4 or 5 weeks ago, and the email was basically saying, I'm struggling. I've fallen out of things that are good for me. Part of that, what is good for me, is community, right? The only person I see on a daily basis is Daniel Arvelo. He drives me crazy. No, I'm joking, right? I've fallen out of community. I no longer see you. You're my community. I've fallen out of purpose. Speaking to a camera, it's not all it's cracked up to be. I don't get to see people anymore. I don't get to hear stories anymore of what God is doing in people's lives. I've fallen out of the very things that stir life into me. And forget about, you know, physically eating too much and all those other things. I did go to the gym today, so one pump. I should be down in weight tomorrow. I think this is where we find ourselves today. Listen, let's not fake it. Let's not pretend it doesn't exist. If you're struggling today, if you're deflated, if this is the best metaphor for your life today, then let's do something about it. Let's center ourselves and let's begin to work toward capturing the rest of 2020. I know a large portion of it got away from us, but we're going to capture 2020. We're going to hit the reset button. We're going to capture 2020, and we're going to take what's left, and we're going to present it to God, and we're going to say, God, do with it as you will. And then we are going to begin to live out the idea that small investments over large blocks of time. Small investments over the next 4 months will make a difference in your life come the end of 2020. It's time that we hit the reset button. Listen, we need to understand and declare that we will not be victims anymore, right? We can't control what the economy is doing. We can't control what culture is doing, what society is doing. We can't control what's open and what's closed. But what we can control is this idea that we will not be victims. And we are not buying what culture is selling. That's not a statement to the validity of the virus. That's a statement that says we will not allow the circumstances of today to determine our health tomorrow. And so it's a declaration of saying, you know what, there's 4 months left. I'm capturing what's left of 2020. I'm presenting it to God. I will allow him to put me back on the path, small investment over large blocks of time, so I can regain the time that is left. And land somewhere that I want to be. You've heard me say it often that everyone ends up somewhere, but few people end up somewhere on purpose. It's the truth. So I want you to just take a moment. I want you to picture where you want to be at the end of 2020. Because I'm guessing where you're at now, August 30th, 2020, is not where you want to be. I'm not where I want to be. I'm not where I plan to be. And so just take a moment. Where do you want to be? Where do you want to be physically? Where do you want to be relationally, emotionally? Where do you want to be financially, spiritually? Let's begin to live with the end in mind. I just want you to picture how you want the last 4 months to change. Now, that involves having a goal for the rest of the year in each of those areas. But I don't want you to focus on the goal. I want you to focus on the system that's needed to get you there. See, at the beginning of every season, every sports team has the goal to win a championship, but only a few teams have the system that will allow them to win that championship. I want us to focus on the system. What is the system? The small investments over large blocks of time that will get us to where we need to be. So what is the system? And then work the system. You see, here's what I know, and some of us have already discovered this to be true, that the sacrifice of making small, ongoing, positive deposits, and that's what we're asking for the next 4 months, the sacrifice of making small, ongoing, positive deposits, in other words, working the system, in the long run is far easier than living through the collapse that comes after seasons of neglect. The sacrifice of making small, ongoing deposits, and there is a sacrifice, in the long run is far easier than living through the collapse that comes after seasons of regret. You see, that becomes our choice as we can recenter ourselves again and begin to make the small deposits over large blocks of time, or we can continue to be tossed to and fro by our current circumstances, and at some point, my fear is there will be a collapse. And I think many of us, we may be close to that because we're living through a season of life that we've never experienced before. Now, it's not so much that we've fallen into sin. We've just fallen into bad habits. We've just fallen out of good habits. And so we're gonna focus on the system. We're going to work the system. And you understand by system, I just mean spiritual disciplines. The system may be for physical health, gym, and eating right. And it may mean starting to have community again, engaging conversations again, right? The system is the spiritual disciplines that get us to where we want to be. I'm sure you don't want to live with a spirit that feels deflated as maybe it's feeling right now. See, and here's the best news of all. I think Danny said it. And by the way, Danny and his son, Israel, both did a fantastic job when I was gone, and I appreciate them stepping in. But one of them said, it's up to you, but it's not about you. And so the next 4 months, right, to start moving forward again, small investments over large blocks of time, working the system, it's up to you. You need to decide to connect to the source, but it's not about you. See the breath of God going back into you, the life of God going back into you, the Spirit of God filling you, that's not up to you. All you can do is connect to the source and let God do what God does. And over time, it doesn't happen immediately, but over time and small investments over large blocks of time, you know what's going to happen? You're going to get your bounce back. It's not going to happen tomorrow. It's not going to happen a week from now. But at some point, I will get our bounce back because of small investments over large blocks of time. We will not continue to be tossed by the current circumstances of culture, because you know where it's led us. We all have the choice. We can either have this or we can have this. Watch that camera. And so I leave you with that. Matter of fact, let me leave you with this scripture. Moses says this in Psalm 90:20, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Teach us to number our days before we run out of days. Teach us to number 2020 and what's left before we run out of 2020, before we run out of days. Teach us to manage our time. We have 4 months left. You're not going out like this. I'm not going out like this. And so today is the day we recenter, we reposition, we throw up a flag and say, hey, I am not doing well. We hit the reset. Envision the end. What do you want 2020, the end of December 31st, what do you want it to look like? And then don't focus on the goal. Focus on the system. Small investments over large period of times will pull us out of this funk. And over time, we will begin to receive the breath, the air, the wind, the ruach of God filling us and strengthening us and building our resiliency again. That is my prayer for us. Next week, we're going to be in Philippians. We're going to talk about God in the waiting and what that looks like and how God can work even in our times of waiting and required patience. So join me in prayer. Lord, I just know many of us, we're just deflated right now. And those lagging indicators are appearing. Lagging indicators in relationships or in physical health or in our emotional health or our spiritual health. And maybe some of them are things that we've never even spoken. We've never told anyone. We've kind of hid it. We've swept it under the rug. But today, God, let it be the day that we're honest about where we are. And if we're struggling, if we're not at our best, then let us begin to seek help. Look, God, for those who maybe have fallen into some bad habits, some sin or some activities that is detrimental to their future, today, let there be a gift of repentance. Let there be a gift of turning from that habit and embracing the life that you have for us. And for those who have fallen out of habits that bring health and stir life, then today, let us begin to re-engage in those habits. And let us understand that it doesn't change overnight, it doesn't change over a week or even over a month, but it is the small deposits over large blocks of time. And for some of us, we needed to hear those words that said, there is cumulative effect of neglect as well. And so I pray that that is a sobering thought. This idea of maybe we have what we've been neglecting for the last 5 months, or maybe for some it's been the last 5 years. I pray that you would begin to center us, show us what is most important and what is most valuable. Lord, fill us, Holy Spirit, fill each person. Hey, you may be at home sitting on your couch, but I just encourage you to maybe put your hands up, ask the Holy Spirit to fill you. Ask the Holy Spirit to begin to breathe life, the breath of the wind of God into you again. It's up to you, but it's not about you. It's His strength in our weakness. And so would you fill us, Holy Spirit? Would you give us life? Would you begin to turn the remainder of 2020? That we would begin to have forward movement and begin to advance. This is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, God bless you guys. Thank you again for joining us online or in person. We'll continue this series next week. Invite someone. Go to revealvineyard.com/invite. There are some invitations that you can use to invite someone to church. It's a good series to invite someone because what I know is whether your friends are churched or unchurched, they are struggling just like we all are. Check out our groups. Don't miss those. Register for some. Sow into yourself. God bless you. We will see you soon.